Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. Well, today in Dean's thoughts that I'm going to talk to you about why Mitchell Hollis and Michael Jordan are the same. Now, I know it sounds like a stretch, but I'm going to explain that. And I'll discuss that with our special guest today, along with discussing one of our favorite ministries and some fun along the way. Please welcome back to the podcast, Angie Hawkins.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm just right.
I am so excited to be here. Oh. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yes,
we miss you. And so it's always good to have you around. So
you can't make me cry from like the get-go. So yeah. Stop on that. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys have just been living it up, living the big life, and
yeah,
right?
Yeah, living large. It's what we do, you know.
But you and Patrick doing well?
We are doing really well. He's just finished year one in Bible college, and that came as a surprise to both of us. But he dove in, and you know, this time of year especially, he works like 17, 18 hour days. And the Lord just made a way, you know, and we're so grateful. And he just is falling more and more in love with the Lord every day. And so, of course, that's contagious to me, too. So yeah. We're super good. We're very blessed and very grateful. Yeah,
that's great. I'm proud of him for
thank
I mean,
you.
For doing what he's doing. That is just amazing.
Yeah, it's really changing his heart in a good way, even more. And I'm very proud of that. And of course, it affects our lives and the way he now approaches our business and things like that. He's always been a very honest man, but he is slowing down a little bit to spend more time. So you know how that does. Anyway,
that's great.
Thanks for asking.
Well, our post of the week this week comes from Rebecca Wang. She said, I was chatting with a physical therapist last night about my shin splints, and he encouraged me to work on increasing my cadence. I found a metronome tool on my Garmin watch and found out I can monitor my cadence on the run. Have any of you had this struggle with low cadence, and how did you solve it? Also, has anyone used the metronome tool on the watch? Well, first of all, there are a lot of people that have a problem with low cadence.
Yes.
Some of it is overstriding, which is what the physical therapist is telling her. She's overstriding a little bit. And sometimes people just don't realize that the cadence should be a little faster than it is. But metronomes work great for that. I've gone over that on this podcast a few times. You
helped me with that 3 years ago or so. Same sort of thing that you were like, without looking, Angie, I think that you might be overstriding. Get your feet up under you. And so that has really helped. And then Rebecca McGeorge, she one time we were running together, she was like, fast feet, fast feet. And so I say that sort of thing all the time. It's like, fast feet, just turn those feet over.
Yeah.
But you suggested a metronome too. So I have one actually on my phone now.
And it sounds counterintuitive because you think, well, if I turn my feet over faster, then that's going to make me more tired. But if you do that and you shorten your stride a little bit, you're actually going to go a little bit faster and you're going to be less tired, typically.
Right. Well, just like with everything, I mean, it's working properly. So you're going to use less energy to do what you're trying to do.
Yep.
You taught me that.
Now, in this case, this physical therapist is talking about shin splints. Mm-hmm. I have seen most of the time when I see shin splints, it is because somebody has calf issues. Their calves are too tight.
Yep.
And if you will keep your calves really, really loose all the time, your chances of shin splints are less. I'm not saying it's zero. It's certainly not.
Sure.
But tight calves is very, very often the root of the problem.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of times people who overstride have tight calves. Because they're pushing off so hard.
That makes sense.
To get the longer stride.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, not always, but that's
yeah, that. Yeah. Well, and then I think that that's definitely an area that we neglect in stretching, and especially after you run and everything. Yeah. I myself, so I'm wagging my finger at myself, you know, I always forget that's important too. You know, I've had so many hip issues and lower back issues and everything, and I'm like, oh, but I still have these calves I got to take care of too.
Yeah. 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 Cause you're always focused on the part where you have
that
the
hurts. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Versus, you know, preventative. So
absolutely. Well, mm-hmm. And then she says she cut back on her mileage. That's a good idea. Anytime you have any kind of an issue, you should cut back a little bit, go a little bit easier, cut back on intensity and volume and let that thing heal up, whatever it is, and then get back to where you were. But using a metronome, the way you use a metronome, let's just say that you have a stride rate and your watch is telling you that your cadence is 150. Well, then typically you want to work towards 180. Mm-hmm. 180 is supposed to be ideal. That's what the studies tell us. Mine typically is about 172 or 174 on most easy runs.
Yeah.
On my races and things, it's typically around 180. If you're at 154, you don't set your metronome for 180 and then try to keep your cadence at that. You set your metronome for 156.
I was going to say, okay, lower.
You get a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. And then once you get that mastered and that feels normal, then you set it to 160, 162.
Just like everything. I mean, you got to little steps.
Do it a little bit at a time and work your way up. And you may find that, you know, you optimize yourself at somewhere around 170. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
You should be somewhere probably between 160 and 180.
Mine will say if I'm at like 180 or 168 or so, that I'm right in my zone. So that's kind of whatever reason, that's the number that I it always stands out.
So that's,
me.
And that's 168. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you're below 160, I would say it's a good idea to work on it a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Well, she's feeling better.
Yeah, well, me too. Our run of the week comes from Richard Ball. He said, started running a mile a day away at church camp. The hope was that it would kick start my running discipline, and I believe it did. I felt hot, slow, but great to run 3 miles today. The road to running has been hard, difficult, and bumpy since my mom's death and everything else. I've lost a lot of ground in my diabetes journey, but I'm tired of how I feel. Tired of seeing my blood sugar spiked over 300 plus about every day. Tired. So here's to getting back on the horse again.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And I know that's for Richard. He's one of those emotional guys. He's up and down, you know, he struggles with things and he overcomes and he gets really excited about it. And that's good. That's great. Yeah. But you got to find a way to be consistent with things. And that's what he's talking about doing here. And it sounds like he's back on it again. And I hope he stays there. There's always going to be things that get us off track. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for something like the death of your mother to kind of just pull you away from things. And it could be a lot of things. It could be things that are much less important than that, that can pull you away too. But just, if you get off track, get back to it.
Yeah.
Don't go, oh, I've lost so much. It's useless. Just start back.
Right.
And the sooner the better.
And I often find there's so much joy in the return, because you realize how much you had been, you know, this might be a harsh word, but neglecting even taking care of just yourself. And yes, the Bible tells us there's a time to mourn, but we've got to keep going.
Yep.
So with that being said, you know, with injury or whatever the setback is, once I realize and I'm mindful of, okay, I've been sitting on this couch way too long. It's time to get up, go for a walk. Mm-hmm. And then not so much focus on the striving of the run or the walk or what have you, but just enjoying the smell in the air, the birds singing or whatever. And slowly, just like we were talking about with changing in your metronome, but it's just slowly growing back into it. Mm-hmm. Instead of going all in, it's the obsess and neglect where we fall, and just find that center space.
Yeah. And the other thing that Richard does really well here is a lot of people, when they get tired of feeling a certain way, they start feeling sorry for themselves.
Yeah, that shame.
And instead, Richard is not saying, I'm going to feel sorry for myself, but I'm going to do something about it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that is so good.
Yeah.
Yep. Good example. Our trivia question from last week was completely different. We've never done just a Bible trivia question. We did last week. So here was the question. We all know that the Protestant Bible contains 66 books, and most Catholic Bibles contain 73 books, but how many chapters are in the Bible? And I said I'd take either the Protestant or Catholic answer. Did you know the answer to this?
I did not know, and I have to admit that I never even thought about it, because we always know, there's 66 books in the Bible, you know, and you move on.
Yeah.
So great question. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought this would be interesting. So The Protestant Bible, the typical Protestant Bible, mm-hmm. contains the one with 66 books is 1,189 chapters. And that breaks down to 929 chapters in the Old Testament and 260 chapters in the New Testament. The book with the most chapters, as most people do know, but it is Psalms with 150 mm-hmm. chapters. Several books have only one chapter, Obadiah, Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John. And these are standard for just about all Protestant Bibles. Mm-hmm. Catholic Bible is different. Mm-hmm. It has the Deuterocanonical. How do you like that?
I'm glad you're saying that, not me.
I pulled that one off. Yeah. Books, or also known as the Apocrypha. In the Old Testament, they've got an extra 7 books. And so the Catholic Bibles have about 1,074 chapters in the Old Testament, or 46 books, with 260 in the New Testament, for a total of approximately 1,334 chapters. Now, in Orthodox Bibles, some of those have even more than that. So the Greek Orthodox Old Testament has 1,114 chapters across 50 books, with additional variations in other Orthodox branches. Have you ever read any of those extra books?
I have not. No.
So I don't know. I was just playing around with my Bible app one day and just looking at different translations, and I obviously came up on one of these.
All right.
And there's two books, or maybe it's one book and it's broken into two sections. I can't remember exactly how it, but it's Bell and the Snake.
Okay.
And it has to do with Daniel. And these are stories that took place during the time of Daniel. And they can't be verified. The stories can't be verified. That's why they're not in the Bible.
Okay.
However, if these are good, true stories, as obviously the Greek Orthodox folks think they are, mm-hmm. They're very interesting stories.
Yeah.
Crazy stories.
I bet they are.
I mean, they're crazy stories, but they're very interesting.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go check them out.
Yeah, check out the Book of Bell and the Snake and, you know, see what you think.
You know, Patrick, they will be covering a lot of things over the 4 years, and I'm wondering, I never thought about it before.
Yeah.
How much they might get into stuff like this.
Yeah, I wonder about
it. Yeah, I'll keep it posted.
All right.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
Okay, we're back. Now, if you haven't submitted your story, you need to get on the ball, and you need to do that, and you need to submit a story that we can read here on the podcast, because we're interested in it, and I guarantee you there's somebody else out there interested in your story as well. You may not think your story is a big deal, but somebody out there probably does, and so don't hesitate. Go to upwardrunning.com. And go to the tab that says submit your story and submit your story today. We'll walk you right through it. Well, this is a thing from Study Finds. Duke University did this study. Why Americans keep gaining weight despite burning more calories than ever. So the summary of this paper says this. Researchers analyzed data from 4,213 adults aged 18 to 60 across 34 populations representing different levels of economic development, from hunter-gatherers to industrialized societies. They used the doubly labeled water method, considered the gold standard for measuring energy expenditure, which tracks isotope depletion in body water over 7 to 14 days, to calculate total daily calories burned. Body composition was measured using deuterium dilution. I don't know what that means. To determine fat-free mass, fat mass, and body fat percentage. Economic development was categorized using the UN Human Development Index, which incorporates measures of wealth, education, and life expectancy. The study also examined dietary data from 25 populations, including the percentage of ultra-processed foods in people's diets. Body fat percentage and obesity rates increased significantly with economic development across all populations studied. However, total daily energy expenditure was actually higher in more developed countries, primarily due to larger body sizes. When adjusted for body size, energy expenditure decreased only modestly, 6 to 11%, with development, and this small difference could explain only about one-tenth of the obesity differences between populations. Surprisingly, physical activity, energy expenditure showed no significant decline with economic development. Among populations with dietary data, the percentage of ultra-processed foods in the diet was positively correlated with body fat percentage, demonstrating that dietary intake, rather than reduced energy expenditure, drives obesity in developed countries. What do you think?
Well, a lot of that was like blah, blah, blah. But I think there's a lot of interesting data there. I really do.
Does it surprise you that they say that the energy expenditure is not different from, say, the United States to a Kenya or a less developed country?
Yeah, but I didn't know why it would be. I mean, you know, and it's interesting to hear that because of our body sizes are larger, you know?
Well, that explains the actual...
As far as the development of the countries, no. I mean,
You would think that we just have it a lot easier physically.
Yeah.
But that's shown not to actually be the case. We don't really have it physically, or we don't choose to, which surprises me because I think about things like, let me just pull one thing out of there. Going to the bank. Yeah. I haven't been to the bank in I don't know how long because I don't have to.
Yeah.
That's energy expended that I don't expend anymore. And you can multiply that times a lot of different things that we do. Mm-hmm. And I would think we use less energy today than we used to. And that may be true because this didn't measure what we used to do versus what we do now. It just measured what we do now here versus other countries.
But Right.
But anyway, of course, we've talked about it several times on this podcast, processed foods. Mm. It's becoming more and more obvious, if it wasn't already as obvious as it could be.
Yeah.
Processed foods is the problem.
Yeah.
And the difference is, and the thing that I think is the culprit here, is that processed foods actually digest easier than real food. And because it digests easier than real food, you can eat more of it.
Right.
It's a lot easier to eat more of it.
Well, and because there's no fiber, well, less fiber content in most processed foods. And so your body is able to process it quicker. But that's what's making you hungrier too, because it doesn't have the sustainability that you need from, you know, but yeah, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's good. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Those refined ingredients, they just lack nutrients and fiber and things like that, that help our, you know, bodies maintain healthier digestion and whatnot. So,
yeah.
But I think it's interesting about the energy behind that though too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, we've got to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we're headed in the right direction. I think people are becoming more and more aware.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about where we're headed in this country, at least.
Yeah.
Towards at least knowing where we are and what we can do. If nothing else, if people at least have the information. In the past, I think Big Food has been responsible for suppressing a lot of information out there that we should have known a long time ago.
I try my hardest to think that originally they weren't after just the numbers. You know what I mean? I try my heart of hearts. I'm like, they couldn't have thought that we were going to get this sick. And then you think about the generation before us. I know that our parents did the best they could with what they knew. Mm-hmm. Well, now we know better.
Yeah.
And we've got to do better. And one of my prayers lately has been definitely focusing on the children. And you and I have that sort of same kind of heart's desire to help the children of the future, however that may be. But I think we failed them. And it's our duty to now raise them up better.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let's talk about what you did. What we did a couple of weeks ago. How did we talked about this on the podcast, the Hawkins fundraiser, mm-hmm. capital F-U-N, fundraiser. How did all that come about?
Well, originally, if you'll remember back, it was during COVID, during 2020, one of our, Patrick and I used to always go down to do the Peachtree Road Race. You know, we've talked about Peachtree Road Race on this podcast a number of times, largest 60 or probably largest 10K at that point in the world, mm-hmm. With 60,000 people that come down to Atlanta. Well, during COVID, they shut it down. And we had our little tickets and our bibs, and they said, go do virtual. So we went and did virtual. We ran around Cartersville, where mm-hmm. I normally run on a regular basis. And so the following year, we thought, you know what? We don't want to spend the money to go down there anymore. That's when we started a fundraiser for Run for God.
Yep.
And anybody that wanted to join us, and we said virtually, it was really no big deal. We didn't even offer it in person at that time. But come join us and just donate whatever registration fee that you might be doing in your, like say a normal race in your area is $35. Go donate that money to Run for God. Run on the same day as us, and we'll go live that morning on the Facebook page. So we did. And that's when, that was 2021, and you showed up with a busload of the Dalton girls. And then Mitchell and Holly and Gay and Shannon, they all climb out of the truck. And there was probably about 25 of us that we met there, and we ran. It was such a great surprise. So anyway, and it was fun. And then the following year, we decided, you know what? Let's do this legit. We had that many people show up. Let's see if other people will come. And yep. then, but we don't have a timer. I'm really big on not striving. And I know that's so off on this, you know, in this community and things like that. But I'm the person that always tells you, okay, that didn't feel good trying to strive. Let's pause and pull back, and let's just go for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And so that's where the fun, F-U-N, razor came from. And then, again, we were still raising money for Run for God. And then when Run for God and Upward merged, we, at the same time, there is Run Club member Rebecca McGeorge. Mm-hmm. And she now has a ministry of 501c3. And we thought they were going to be international full time now. She and her husband moved to San Juan, La Laguna, Guatemala. And to help support their ministry, we thought, you know, I presented it to Mitchell, asked if it would be, you know, would it be inappropriate, that sort of thing, because we didn't want to just take from, you know, but let's shift. Because Row 12 actually developed out of her time with Run for God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they jumped on board and everything. So it's just kind of snowballed into this now event. You know, we've had, you know, people come from all over the country and everything. And it's been a success. Last year, Upward matched us up to $25,000. So as a group, we were all able to donate, I think it was $52,000.
Wow.
To Row 12.
Wow.
And what most people don't realize is that 42% of international missionaries end up having to close up shop because they run out of funds.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And it's been a call that we feel that Patrick and I feel that we are just to help support. We've been given these mouths. You know, he's got a big mouth too. And we want to just keep them alive in Guatemala as long as it, you know, they're doing great kingdom work down there, and mm-hmm. we just want to support them. So that's where it has now morphed into what it is.
So what do they do in Row 12 Ministries?
You know, Row 12 Ministries has a lot that goes on there. They have partnered with a ministry by the name of Impacto. And Impacto, they are, I think it's more than region. I think they're throughout Guatemala. But they church plant, they build churches, they equip pastors. So there is a Bible college there, so to speak, you know, that they equip pastors for that. They've even brought in help to bring into like to that region and that area, like a Celebrate Recovery. They do on a daily basis. Also, they work with the elderly and the children of the community. And they have the elderly, they help with just everything, anything that you can think of as far as feeding, nutritional foods, Any type of medical, any type of hygiene, but also occupational like therapy and things like that. And then in the afternoon, the children of the community come and they again get food and the playtime and things like that. But they just, and it's so much more than just this. Most importantly, they bring Jesus to that community. They're in an area that it's a Mayan area, so they don't believe in the Christian beliefs and whatnot. And so that is their goal. And they do that by getting to know the community and, and offering like assistance to them.
And they get opportunities to share regularly.
Yes. Everything. Yeah. While we were doing VBS at our church, I was saying, and we were raising money for Row 12 then too. And I was saying, and then people were asking, what is it like? I was like, well, the Happy Tommies in my Angie small vision, it's like nonstop VBS, you know, where, I mean, it's a lot of fun. There's food, but there's a lot of Jesus there. And you know, Rebecca, I mean, she is the light and salt. You know, so definitely. So,
yeah, I can't imagine putting on a vacation Bible school every week, but that's essentially what they're doing.
And I know that she's probably like, no, Angie, it's much more. But it is. I mean, we understand
from
that.
From a work standpoint that what's behind it.
Yep.
And everybody who ever does vacation Bible school the week after is exhausted.
You're exhausted.
Yeah.
They have another
And they do it every week.
So they originally started in Vinton, like the Roanoke area of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And their main purpose in the beginning was preparing teams to go international. Mm-hmm. So she still does that now from there. So they have like, they have a group coming out in October, but every week during like the summers and stuff, they have teams that come in. Mm-hmm. Well, she prepares those teams from wherever you are, with setting up, she equips them and teaches them how to fundraise for their trip, along with, you know, preparing and what you're going to need, you know, that kind of thing, and prepares it. And then she often has people, like we've had a Run for God group go, and they're from across the country. Mm-hmm. Well, she now organizes them to meet in an area. So she organizes all of their flights and whatnot to meet in, let's say, Texas or Atlanta. And then they all fly into Guatemala, Guatemala City, and then their bus, normally it's Eric and a driver, they'll meet them at the airport, and then they bring them there. So from literally the moment you say, I have a team and I want to be involved, she takes you from that moment to getting you back and then everything in between.
Wow.
Yeah. She's very busy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So what is Row 12? What does that mean?
So Row 12 actually comes from Romans 12, 1 and 2. So therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. And the nonprofit, I mean, is that's what they do. They in the McGeorges specifically, they have literally sold everything and moved. Yeah. And she just, I believe it. And before I knew her, we were on a fast track of friendship from the moment we said hello.
Yeah.
And we're very different, but so much alike too. But they—
That's a good way to put that.
Extremely alike, but really different.
Yeah.
And, but their heart for Jesus is huge, and they have literally sacrificed everything and have moved there because they know the call that has been put on their life.
Yeah.
So, but that's what Row 12, people never understand. So it's Row/TWELVE. So Row 12 for Romans 12.
Yeah. I know that if you want to Google that, say, do it Row/ the word 12 to find it. Because if you put it all together, when you Google it, you'll get some other stuff.
You might even get Romans or what have you. Their actual website is row12.org. But if you were to Google, always just put in Row 12 Ministries, put in that word ministries, it'll come up too. You're right. Absolutely.
Well, this year's race, of course, was benefiting Row 12 again. But you weren't sure you wanted to host the race again this year, were you?
I did not think I wanted to. Last year was really hard on Patrick and me. And just, you know, we've put on so many races before. It's a lot of work. And although we call it no frills and everything, it's still a lot of work for two people.
It's a lot more than no frills.
Yeah. And I'm very grateful that we don't have the extra things. And, you know, and I say it's just he and I because we know the course, so we have to go put out the signs.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, I'm very grateful for those. Like Gay and Shannon always bring something as far as for the barbecue, because there's always a cookout afterwards also. Mm-hmm. You know, and then my Miss Sandy and my Brittany that I have talked about for years, they do my signs. I just provide a table and I sit there and talk to them and they do all the signs because we make those by hand.
Yeah.
But it got to the point, and Patrick, like I've said, you know, this time of year, he's busy mm-hmm. and it's always his heart's desire. I'm going to help more this year. And then he doesn't because he can't.
Yeah.
And last year it was a lot of stress. And I just think that last year was a pivotal year for us.
Yeah.
And we were fighting that night before and the morning of. And you know, I pray that it didn't show too much to too many people, you know. But it was, and I was not happy.
Yeah.
And so going into the whole year, I was like, we're not doing, you know, we're done. That was a lot of fun. I'm so glad we're going out with a bang because we raised so much money for them.
Yeah.
And he tells me in January, no, we're going to do it again. Oh, no, we're not. And then I was going to California to meet up with Rebecca and Eric. And actually, Heather Valdez met us out in California too. Michelle Stover, all Run Club members.
Yeah.
Michelle Stover has her kids out there that we were going to go run an event with them. And so we were all meeting out there. And I think it was the first night we were in the kitchen. And I told Rebecca, and I think Heather was standing there. I said, so Patrick has this idea that we're going to do the Hawkins 10K again. And Rebecca's like, well, I was going to ask you about that. Oh. And so I was like, oh, snap. So we talked about it. I was like, I don't know. I'm going to keep praying about it because I still just don't feel the nudge. And I think that, you know. And then one afternoon, I was texting with my girl, Brittany. And I was saying that all of this was happening. And I was like, I just don't know. And she said, well, what if you don't get a big turnout? And I said, well, Jesus left the 99 for the one. The one mm-hmm. matters. So why wouldn't we do it for the one? And she said, I think you've got your answer. And I was like, oh, snap. I sent Patrick a text immediately. And I sent Rebecca one time. I said, apparently, Hawkins 10K is on again this year. But this year, we decided to do it with the 5K. You know, there are always people that have pulled away from doing it because we didn't say that we had the 5K. But that's what the course was this year because we were met with so much... so many issues, so many like sidetracking and things like that this year. Like our course was under construction on the center
the
course.
Normal course.
And then the out and back, there's a whole new neighborhood. And so I was like, we don't even have a course. And Patrick's like, just do a 5K. We'll be fine. And every step of the way, he's like, he'd have the answer. He's like, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
God's going to take care of things. All God tells us to do is show up.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Yeah. Well, I thought it turned out well.
Thank you. And you know, and that's when I called Mitchell and Holly, and I was like, you know, I was on a walk and I sent them a voice text, like an actual, whatever those are called. And Holly immediately sent back, and Mitchell's like, whatever you want to do, we'll be supporting you, you know, and have at it. Cause I didn't feel comfortable with promoting in Run Club. And because it, just for everything. And, and he was like, have at it. And I just want to say thank you. And he's not here today, but I'm so grateful for their support because from the get-go they jumped on and he said, whatever. And Holly's helped me with ordering shirts and towels and things. Because I've always just asked her, Holly, this is what I want, you know? Yeah, and so she jumped on board and was helping me, you know, luckily with ordering and things with Gay, I know a lot of the part numbers and whatnot, you know, part numbers, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
So, but it was very sweet. And then I reached out to you and you're like, I'm in, whatever. And then Gay and Shannon did too. I said, we'll be there. What do you need from us? And I was like, I need your hearts. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then people just started falling in.
Yeah.
You know, after that, and it was awesome.
When you had this group that was associated with Patrick in some way that was there.
Yes.
And so what about that group?
So Patrick, he's our fundraiser. You know, I am the busy worker and I'll talk your ear off and everything, but he does all the fundraising every year. And this year in one of our supply companies, Site One Landscape, he goes in and the two guys behind the counter, they're young adults, you know, 20s, they keep talking to him because he talks about it. Well, first off, they always hear about Jesus through him. Of course, everybody always does. But then they know that he or I run. And so their branch manager is a runner who has since retired, you know, the knees went out and he refuses to step back out there. We're trying though. Anyway, the boys started talking to him about running and everything. And so Patrick started really pushing them. If you guys come out and run, and he started them on this challenge of who can raise more money.
Yeah.
So they got involved and started just collecting, you know, donations and whatnot from the branch themselves. It really created a great team effort of their store.
Yeah.
And even like their branch manager started donating, and they even reached out to one of the suppliers. So Rainbird even donated this year.
Wow.
Which is huge. And yeah. Then the boys came out and they got their families to come as well. And I say boys, I just call everybody boys, yeah, and girls. So the boys, I had to go up to site one day, and one of the guys, Jair, he said, "Angie, how far is a 10K?" Yeah. That's how they run, just to run. They didn't have a timer. They don't have a GPS monitor, nothing. Yeah. They just go run around and they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, it's 6.2 miles. He's like, "Oh." I was like, "Have you ever run that far?" And he's like, "I don't think so." And the other guy, Logan, was like, "No, we don't do that. We do two loops. So it's about 2 miles. So we'll start working on 3 miles. And I was like, "Okay." Well, then there's Patrick on the other end. "No, no, no. You're going to do the 10K. Yeah. And I said, "Well, we have Coach Dean that'll be there, and I guarantee he'll help you." I said, "I'll introduce you to him, and y'all can work out the details." So I might be jumping ahead and everything, but so when we saw you, I was like, "Here we go." And it was so cool because I introduced you guys, and it was just really cool. I don't know if Logan ever had planned on staying with you. His mission on that field was different this year than what Jair's was. Jair wanted to see how well he could run.
Yeah.
Where Logan was, I'm wanting to go after without the strive, but yet pushing himself a little bit and everything. Yeah. So that might have been a little bit more than what he was looking for.
Well, we all ran together for that first mile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
So Logan stayed there. Yeah. I don't know. You know, y'all are so fast, you're gone. But when I saw you come to the where you turn, there's the 5K turnaround and you come back to the 10K turnaround.
Yeah.
And I was at the 10K turnaround. And when I saw him with you, I was like, "Wow, good job, Jair." You know?
Yeah.
And then seeing some of the pictures, he was so just smile ear to ear. He was running with you. And he said that it was just so special, you know, just to realize. And then what you said, do you remember what you told me? I'm sure you don't. You saw me when I sent you the message saying how excited and how much he appreciated you staying with him and encouraging him and coaching him. You were coaching him along the way. And you said, "That boy doesn't know his potential."
Yeah, that's true.
He is not running towards his potential.
Yeah, 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 so. Yeah. He did a good job. I mean, we progressively got faster. Yeah. I kept going a little bit faster just to see. And I never even heard him breathing hard.
Yeah. Well, it was really funny because then he did tell Patrick, I didn't hear this personally, but he said, "But later at the end, he just kicked in turbo and he left me."
I faded up a little bit. And then I was like, I think he can run this fast. So I'm going to do that. Pull away and see if he'll try stay. To go with me.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got about, I don't know, when we got to about a half mile out.
Okay.
I said, "Okay, we got less than a half mile to go now." And then he started coming back to me.
Okay,
and
good.
He ran in with me. He actually, I had to run to keep up with him in the last couple hundred meters because he picked
so
it
awesome.
Up.
That's so awesome. So on the back side at site one, all the guys have been, they've realized that these kids have not only been doing this for their personal running, they have definitely grown in their relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, that they are now realizing their potential as leading in the store too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like cool. Isn't that so cool when these things happen?
It really is.
It really is.
It really is. I really enjoyed talking with him too. Found out I was 3 times older than him, but that's almost exactly 3 times older than him.
That's so awesome.
That was fun.
Well, but see, you're that OG that keeps on going, right?
Yeah. Well, I did not realize that your pastor had joined us until after we were through, and we did communion at the lunch that we normally have,
and
which I thought was a great addition. But he he enjoyed himself, it looked like.
He really did. He's super, super kind. He and his wife. We belong to a really, really sweet church. You know, there for a while, you guys know, you were praying for us to find our home church. And we love the people that we church with, more so than just church people. They have definitely become family. Well, Jared has done those Pastor Jared has done those crazy things of, oh, I'm going to try Sprint. Oh, I'm going to do a marathon. And then really doesn't train well for them.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't do great. Anyway. Yeah. Well, he doesn't anyway, but it doesn't do well.
Yeah.
And actually, the Sunday after the Hawkins 10K, he talked about the tri-sprint a little bit. He never swam in water with people. And so, he hadn't even thought about it. Anyway, so he was an athlete. So we've been trying to get him to start training and, of course, try to do like the church model there and stuff like that. But he is so like, I don't enjoy. And I'm like, but that's the purpose of this. Don't go after what you thought you were after.
Yeah.
So we've been working on him for about a year or so. And then when we decided we're going to do this, we were in, I don't remember how and why we asked him, but I said, Jared, would you and Jamie come out? Will you volunteer since you don't want to run? And they were like, absolutely. I mean, like no hesitation. Absolutely. We want to be involved. Well, they are very competitive family. He's competitive. Her family, she played collegiate ball. I mean, like, so their children are very competitive. They play softball.
Yeah.
But I love the way they're doing it, though. They're not a part of the regular travel ball teams that play on Sunday. They have found an organization that they refuse to play on Sundays. Huh. However, so they had a game on Saturday. So Jamie, the wife, took the kids and went and played ball, and Jared came.
Yeah.
And he was floored. He had never thought about looking at running through this lens of just truly having fun.
Yeah.
And this year there was a lot of fun out there. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of laughing and everything, or having a coach, just coaching a kid along, you know, or there is one lady who I introduced her and her husband to Jared before we all started because she's sight impaired. And each year that she comes, every year she's been here, her husband always says to me, you know, they ask who can she run with or, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And she knew this year that Gay wasn't going to be running. So she was like, I'm going to go at it myself. So I introduced her to Jared. I told her where he would be. That would be the only area that they're in and out of. When she goes in and out of shade to sunlight, that's when her sight really messes with her. Yeah. And I knew that there would probably be that down where they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jared knew to keep an eye out on her. And when he saw her, she apparently paused and sat with them a while because she was overheating, you know, and I mean, it's Georgia, it gets hot.
Yeah.
And they sent her on her way. Well, it didn't sit well with him. And so he told the Odells, the family that was there, that's always here also. He's like, I'll be back. I'm going to go check on her. And he walked her all the way up to where Gay and Shannon were and just made sure. But he got to talk with her and he got a different perspective of what we do.
Yeah.
And then he ran back and Patrick got him on tape running. And I said, you're ready to run again, dude. So he was just really floored that there was that kind of camaraderie because he's not ever approached the sport through the lens of Jesus. And that's, you know, that's our heart. Yeah. You know, we truly believe in my heart for going out. You know, I believe in the Great Commission of we are to go out and share the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's how we do it, is be out in the world.
Yep.
And when we're running and we have a poopy run or something like that, having a breakdown is not very Jesus-like. You know what I mean? You know, so we do it. I've had rotten runs where I'm like, oh, you know, but he got to see it differently this year.
Yeah.
And it's not in that Miss Brenda, she comes out every year because it revives her.
Yeah.
It gives her encouragement to keep going.
Yeah.
And so that's the story with him. And then we did ask him to do communion for us. And so I was like, going into it, I was like, I know that you're going to have to go to ball, but would you come over to do the communion at the barbecue? And he ended up staying a little bit longer than he needed to, but he just couldn't leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the way it is with a lot of these running groups and especially the ones that are Jesus focused.
Yeah.
People just hang around. I've noticed at our church more recently, I typically hang around and like turn off lights and stuff and make sure doors are locked and stuff when people leave. Sometimes I just can't stay that long.
Yeah.
People will just, they'll hang around for hours and just talk. And that's always great to see. I mean, people are making connections and that's neat.
Yeah.
So we had people from all over.
We did.
At this race.
Yep. We did. This year we had Michigan, New Jersey, Mr. George from Pennsylvania, and then North Carolina and Tennessee this year.
Yeah.
So it was really good. And they started coming in on Thursday, and then plus Rebecca and Eric were able to come back. This is their first year coming back for any of the Hawkins 10Ks. And so they were there. She was sick on Friday, so she was supposed to run and she just was not well. But she muscled through it, and they came out and but then again, they got to see it too. Wow. And this is for row 12. Like, it was like heavy, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's really neat.
Yeah.
I'm glad. And I'm glad I'm glad Rebecca got well enough to be out there on Saturday.
Me too. Yeah.
Because I would have missed her being there for sure.
And then, they were presented, like I said, that our VBS raised money. I've never seen a VBS do this before. They do Boys Against the Girls and raise money. I've heard so many people say that. I was like, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
And they give the money towards a charity, and they chose Row 12 this year. So our church presented them with a check on Sunday at church too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so. That is neat. Maybe we'll take on Row 12 next year.
Maybe. I think it's
This year we did I can't remember the name of the organization. But what they do is they build beds for kids that don't have beds.
I love it.
It's a pretty neat ministry.
Yeah. And the kids at our church, you know, we told them about Happy Tummies, and Rebecca did videos throughout the week that we presented. So they got,
cool.
And then one of the days, and when I talked about it at church, I had, you know, a slideshow of them, and I was like, these are my friends, you know, and so they got to see who they were actually helping.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah. And then when they got to come, so did our congregation say, oh, there's actually faces to these people that we just raised money
for. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget we're on a podcast here because I'm wanting to get into it and I'm wanting to ask about.
I'll say, yeah, we're just talking. I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
We should have known this was going to happen.
That's great, though, because that's
let's talk about it.
That's what we're about as far as making those connections. I mean, how important is it for kids to understand what true ministry is?
You know how VBS always does, like there's always a dance and things like that. Well, Rebecca had been in the States, so she hurried back and went and taught the VBS, the VBS dance to her Happy Tummies kids. And so they made a video for our kids of them doing the same dance and singing in Spanish and everything. And then we have a Spanish-speaking kid who said, because I was doing my video back, and he said, can I speak Spanish to them? And I was like, absolutely, come on, Felix. Yeah. So he got to talk to them too, and, you know, through video and stuff, but it just made it special.
That
these
really
kids
cool.
and then there is the Happy Tummy, so the money went towards children.
Well, it's
an idea for next year.
I was gonna say,
we can talk more about
I'm
it.
Definitely gonna get in touch with her and find out more about it.
I truly believe in Matthew, you know, in where Matthew 25, where the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And so that is kind of a staple in our lives also with all of the different organizations that we help and whatnot. And you know, and then knowing the faces that you're helping is so special.
It really is. So what other things did you have go on there? What other people's perspective maybe did you see that?
My Miss Sandy. So since this past year, I have finally turned I Am Fit. I Am Faithfully Fit. And we are now a nonprofit as well. So I currently have a board also. And Miss Sandy and my girl Brittany and Chris, our buddy Chris, has always shown up. They are my board. I needed people that knew my mission, right? And so Miss Sandy, she got to stay the entire time. She has come out and volunteered during the race, but has always had to leave. Well, she too went to the cookout and sat with the people. And she's like, wow.
Yeah.
She has been a supporter of Run for God since I came along. So she just has been a member and does her yearly. And then anytime there's been donations, she's come up to Dalton to do the 5K a few times and stuff like that.
Yes.
She's my heart and soul. She's my mentor. She is just the sweetest thing. And I love the fact that she got to meet people finally, or more that they got to meet her.
Yeah.
But then sitting and speaking with people, I know she sat and listened to you. I don't know that you guys talked. And then listening to Brenda Boyles, who comes out, and listening to, why did Melissa come from Michigan, you know, or Amber from Jersey, you know, all of this stuff. And she's like, wow, that's special.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, so the whole communion thing came about. I was running one day and I got this thought, let's do communion. And then that Sunday at church, and I told Patrick that also when I got home. And then that Sunday at church, we did communion. And then Tuesday at Bible study, Miss Sandy said, gosh, I really wish that we did communion more often at our church. And I was like, okay, we're doing communion at the Hawkins 10K. So that's where that came about.
That's cool.
So that was special for her also. And just seeing everything from a non-runner's point of view and hearing the overwhelming awe of what God is doing in the ministry.
That's cool.
Yeah. But that's because you guys showed up. That's because Yogay and Shannon. That's because it until you, we say this, and guys, whatever camera I'm looking at, until they sit amongst it, you don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know.
That's so true.
It's so special.
Yep. So people can still be involved in this fundraiser, correct?
Yeah.
So tell people how they can do that.
This year, we decided to also really kind of focus a lot on the virtual as far as after the in-person portion of it. And when we decided on dates, we decided to keep the virtual open and also the donation page open for, it's almost another month. And after what, well, actually it's a little bit over a month for the Hawkins 10K. But Rebecca Wang up in Toledo, Ohio, reached out to me immediately. And she said, Angie, I want to do a team. Is there a way to do teams? I said, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Start your team. Yeah. Get it going. And we did. We set up a team. And that's actually how Site won. They were able to make a team also. And Rebecca has a group that's going to come together in Toledo. And they're coming together in August 24th. And so that's an opportunity. But you can also, I mean, anywhere. We do virtual runs all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And like Patrick and I don't ever join a run if we don't approve of where the money's going. You know what I mean? And so we know that this is going to good money and or a good place and stuff like that. So I just pray that more people will join, if not at least donate, because again, the money is the most important. But with everybody that runs virtually, you do get a rally towel like we've done in the past. And then we also have offered this year, we're giving 3 t-shirts away to the top fundraisers.
Oh, cool.
And then Rebecca Wang also said out of her group, her top fundraiser will get a t-shirt. So cool. We're doing that also. So this is the first time we're giving away shirts. And everybody at the barbecue got a shirt this year too. So so there are that those options as well. And all the money goes directly to straight into Row 12.
Right.
Not to me and I write them a check. Nope, it goes straight to them. Even the registration, 100%. Yeah. You know, the website that we run sign up is 100% free. I don't buy the upgrade or anything. So we don't have any overhead, all of the food, any t-shirts or whatever are donations from Bigfoot Services. So
wow.
Yeah. So everything goes directly to them.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. We're grateful.
So they can go to Row 12 to find out about that?
There's not a link on Row 12. Okay. That's where I did fail this year.
Okay.
We will have links. I keep posting them in the Facebook group. Okay. It is runsignup.com/Hawkins10K Cartersville. Okay. Okay. If people want to look into that also.
Very good.
But in the Facebook page, I keep adding reminders that it's still open in the donation page. And also, if they're interested, reach out to Rebecca Wang because she'll get you involved in having a link to get onto her group too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Good. Well, how has your running been going this year?
If you may or may not remember, I'm sure you don't. You're so busy. In St. Pete, I had epic fail. It was a tough time. I normally broke my tailbone in 99. So I always have issues with my lower back and hips, my knees. I've had surgery. I've broken my ankle, herniated disc in my neck. And this past year, my feet started to fail.
Yeah.
You know, my arches drop all the time and I have inserts. I get those adjusted, believe it or not. My chiropractor is a specialist in extremities. But I was in a lot of pain down in St. Pete.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember.
Yeah. And it was tough and it was hard to fake the smile and hold back the tears. But you know, more than anything, and now I'm going to cry. I just felt like I failed, you know, And again, that's like, we're not there for this, but I really hurt. Yeah. Patrick actually, you know, he pops up along the course and he's always so fun.
All over.
it's hysterical to see him. Like, it's like, how did you even get there? But he came and met me at mile 10 because I was texting him. I'm like, I can't do this. And he met me at mile 10. And normally he's like, come on, we can do it. And he'll run with me. And he never even once like pushed that. He just knew I needed my headspace to get back.
Yeah.
And so we prayed together. We talked and we laughed. And, you know, that's when he goes and high fives like the police officers holding traffic and stuff. And he walked with me for a mile and then prayed for me, and I went off. And then I saw you there towards the end, and you were even trying to, you know, wanting to run with me. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I just can't. Left you. And then the Amber Ward, she's trying, I'll run you. And I was like, please don't. I was done.
Yeah.
But you know, I talked to a lot of people about, it was a hard, it got hot.
It did get hot.
It got hot real fast. Hot.
Yes.
So long story that I'm not making any shorter. You had suggested that I start to possibly try the Kinvara Pros.
Yeah.
And I decided, Saucony. Mm-hmm. And I decided to take some time off. I got those shoes and I just allowed myself time to rest and to really focus on being strong. You know, everything from literally head to feet were hurting.
Yeah.
So, and I got the shoes, and then I just started taking most of this year and just really enjoying my runs, doing a lot of interval run walking, deciding maybe do not really following any type of plan other than the fact making myself do it. Get out there and move. You know, I'm big on it. You just got to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I just decided, okay, I'm going to try. And you know, and then a lady at church, she wanted to do her first 5K. So I started training with her and we started doing speed work and things like that. And I just was having a lot of fun and I was like, okay, I'm ready to go again. So I have officially moved. I wanted to wait until after the Hawkins 10K because there's always just so much leading up to that.
Yeah.
And so I have officially moved into half marathon training again.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. Hey, well, congratulations for getting there.
Thank you. Thank you you're always so good in your, you know, willingness to offer suggestions and looking at it. In that day with the shoes, actually it was the day before at the packet pickup and you're like, you know, I've been thinking. So thank you for thinking. You know what I mean? You stop to think about it and that seemed to be the trick. So, you know, we say it all the time, how great you are and everything, but no, thank you. Thank you for caring about us and you're sharing your wisdom with us, you know, and just taking the time to talk us through things. It's so important. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you for
that. You're welcome.
And you got another personal issue you're dealing with right now that
I am. Yeah, we are. We've just recently found out last year we were walking my mom through a season of she was diagnosed with lung cancer and she took radiation and it seemed to have done well, you know. And however, at the end of last year, there was a spot that showed up again on her lung and they monitored it and it has almost doubled in size in less than 3 months. And so she will be going into surgery the end of August. I was going to go out to run with Rebecca Wang and her group. However, their run is the day before my mom's surgery. So unfortunately, I won't be able to go up to Ohio because my sister and I are going to take the week and spend there. I've mentioned, you know, my stepdad, he's not well, you know, and so she cares for him. So we're going to make sure that there's, you know, they live about 2 hours away from either my sister or me. So it's not like we can just run by the house or whatever. It's a matter of let's pack up house and go down there to be with them and to care for them. So,
yeah. Well, sorry you're going through it.
Thank you.
But I hope it all goes well.
Yeah.
For sure.
And prayers are definitely appreciated. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Patrick and I believe in the power of prayer. So,
absolutely.
You know, ultimately, we have the desire for her to be 100% healthy for God's glory, you know, to be a walking testimony for his glory and his healing. But I pray for her peace, you know, and that for God's guidance, if surgery, she has a second opinion coming up, if it is his will to, you know, make it clear that that's what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But this is also an opportunity for her to, they're in a church for the first time ever.
Oh,
ever.
Wow.
You know, I wasn't raised in the church. So they are part of a church family. And I pray that she's able to lean in onto them for help and prayer. And you know, my mom is one tough lady. She is. She's had to be very strong in her 4'11 Italian self. But this is bigger than us.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We'll be praying.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Upward Running is the best way to stay motivated for your fitness and faith journeys.
You get these weekly podcasts, but there's so much more. We have proven training plans available for you, whether you're just at the beginning of your fitness quest or you've been running for 20 years. We have something for everyone, and it doesn't matter where you are with God either. We have something for you there too. If you're not a member, join today at upwardrunning.com. It is the best value you'll find to fuel both your faith and your fitness.
All right, we're back. This comes from the Running Week, and it's entitled, When Determination Defies Illness, David Walker Shows Triathlon Has No Age Limit. So, at 75 years old and living with Parkinson's disease, David Walker has just completed a full triathlon, delivering an inspiring lesson in resilience and determination. His remarkable achievement sends a powerful message of hope to millions facing the challenges of aging and neurodegenerative diseases, proving that neither age nor illness should dictate what we can accomplish. And so this article goes on to talk about a lot of things. Athletic performance generally peaks between ages 35 to 40, gradually declines through 50, and experiences a significant drop-off after 70. Add to this natural decline and burden of neurodegenerative illness, and Walker's achievement becomes even more extraordinary. And then it goes on to talk about why exercise is a powerful ally against Parkinson's. Recent medical research highlights impressive benefits from physical activity in managing Parkinson's. Physical activity can notably improve coordination, balance, gait, and even reduce falls in issues that medications often struggle to manage fully. Exercise also improves non-motor symptoms such as mood swings, fatigue, sleep disturbances, and digestive issues. Dr. Rebecca Gilbert from the American Parkinson's Disease Association emphasizes that even simple routines like a short walk after meals can make significant improvements in daily comfort. Imagine that.
Who knew?
So he goes on to talk about how important all of these, just doing exercise, just being active, doing a high intensity exercise is important. It shows that results showed that slower symptom progression for participants performing 30 minutes at 80 to 85% of their maximum heart rate four times weekly. That seems to make a big difference. And so doing aerobic exercise is good for you. A lot of people, when they get something like Parkinson's, they become inactive. They begin to say, I can't do things. And rather than becoming active, and the active part actually makes the disease better. And so it's important. And then, of course, the fact that the guy's 76 years old is also an impressive thing. Mm-hmm. This article talks about how strength training is essential. That's kind of the equalizer. That's the way we stay a little bit younger, because as we get older, our muscles begin to get weaker. Mm-hmm. And then we have to, it talks about adjusting expectations. You know, once you hit an age and things start to go, you know, you start to get less ability, let's say, performance-wise. You just have to accept that, and you have to move on, and you have to be okay with it. And you know, from take it from a guy who's been a lot faster than he is these days. It's hard sometimes to do that. It's hard to accept. But the great thing about being older is that it's a lot easier to accept things, because you can put things in perspective a lot better as you get older.
Right. I think that. We think of aging as such a bad thing, where it's such a gift. It's mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody gets to.
Yeah.
Real quick about Parkinson's and movement and whatnot. When Parkinson's, what happens in the brain with Parkinson is in the basal area of the brain, that platform area, there is a neuropathway. Well, that neuropathway gets blocked off from the dopamine that is needed, and so that's where Parkinson. So if you catch that early and do things like walking, simple as walking, like they're saying, I like to understand why walking would help. So that's why it's to help keep that pathway clear. It's for those neurotransmitters and things like that. But it's just interesting how it with age, we think it's time to just sit on the couch. Well, no, if God still has us here, we still have purpose.
That's right.
Keep moving.
Yep.
Your purpose can't be in that couch.
There's no retirement age from doing God's will.
From doing kingdom work, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we can do better for the kingdom if we stay busy.
Yeah.
And active.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we are no longer embodied beings. We have dissociated. You know, we separate ourselves from, like often you may have heard that this is just a meat suit, you know? And it's like, well, this meat suit holds the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, and it's on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it is ability to move, to go out. There's that, you know, again, the Great Commission, to keep moving.
That's right.
And once we realize that and accept, I'm glad I am of this age, what can I do to keep doing God's work?
Yep.
That's how I look at it.
Absolutely.
As I'm aging.
Well, congratulations to Mr. Walker and his completion
huge.
Of this triathlon is incredible.
Amazing.
It's a great story. There are reasons sometimes why people can't participate in things like endurance sports, but that number of people who cannot do those things is way lower than people
than
think it is.
Yeah. Well, even with strength training, everybody always says, but I can't do that. You don't... One of my workout groups, the lady showed up. She's like, I'm not using weights. And I said, oh, just put water bottles in your hand. So she started using water bottles and progressively. And I was like, the water bottles are actually harder because they slosh around.
Yeah.
Put a solid weight in your hand.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's all mental.
Yep.
And we put too much pressure on ourselves.
We do. We absolutely do. So stop doing that if you're doing that.
Yes.
All right, it's a time for Dean's Thoughts. That's a time when I share something that I've written about the intersection between running and faith. Well, just about everybody knows that Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. But how did that play a part in his later success? This is called Choosing the Right Path. Everyone knows that Michael Jordan famously was cut from his high school varsity basketball team his sophomore year. But he is not the only one who overcame early rejection to be ultra successful. Thomas Edison's teachers thought he was a poor student, was inattentive, and was likely incapable of learning much. Oprah was fired from her first TV job for being too emotionally invested. J.K. Rowling was on welfare when she began to write the Harry Potter series. Are you seeing a pattern here? But here's the thing. The incident that nearly caused Michael Jordan to quit was the fuel that propelled him to be the greatest basketball player ever. The rejection devastated him so much that he went home and cried with his mother. However, he responded by training intensely, often practicing alone for hours, which laid the foundation for his relentless work ethic and competitiveness later in his career. He was likely better for having gone through his sophomore rejection experience. So let's put this in the context of our health. Do you feel a slight rejection when you step on the scale? Has your doctor told you that your cholesterol is too high? Do you get in arguments with family members about your role in the family? These scenarios and thousands more play out in the world every single day. The question is, what is your response? My friend Mitchell Hollis was diagnosed with the aforementioned high cholesterol. His response was to do everything he could outside of taking a statin drug to reduce that number. He changed his diet and started exercising more. He read up, listened to podcasts, and watched documentaries to learn more. In short, he refused to take the shortcut of simply taking drugs to lower his cholesterol. Why? Because he wants to be the best version of himself. Jordan could have stopped playing basketball, and Mitchell could have taken the statin. It would have been easier, for sure. Instead, Mitchell used the bad news to motivate himself to do better, just like Michael Jordan did. Which brings me to my point. What news have you gotten that is less than ideal? How are you responding to it? Are you ignoring the available shortcut, or are you taking the easy road? If you're not meeting your running or walking goals, are you settling for less than you want? Are you making excuses for not getting that workout in, or are you taking the Hollis Jordan approach and hammering away with all your might? Michael Jordan became the best basketball player in the history of the game because he used his setback as wood for the fire. Mitchell has not been able to lower his cholesterol enough to this point to completely avoid the need for a medication, but it was not from a lack of effort or determination. The truth is that sometimes we are ultra successful when we fight for what we want, or sometimes we can't get where we want to be, but it's far easier to accept when you know you did all you could to get there. Don't give in to the easy path, the worn path. Take the one less traveled, the one that will lead to satisfaction. Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." This is a contrast between a path that is easy and broad, but ends poorly, to one that is narrow and difficult, but leads to a more abundant life. Fewer may choose the second option, but those who do are rewarded. Take the path less traveled, the one that will lead to satisfaction. Whether you are choosing the less worn path of physical exertion or following Jesus, know that it will be hard, but it will be worth it.
Amen.
Did you know that Mitchell and Michael Jordan were basically the same person?
I hadn't really never thought of that.
Yeah. Well, now you know. I think the reason why people have a hard time choosing that less worn path is not only that the path is harder, but it requires you to accept the idea of delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. And so many people are averse to that. And who can blame them in today's world? Mm-hmm. Everything is instant. Mm-hmm. Amazon is instant. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, we're binge watching a TV series right now. Debbie and I are. You know, that wasn't available to us years ago.
Right.
And it's, we love getting what we want right now. If you're taking a statin, then you can lower that cholesterol number tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's nice and it's simple. I just got to remember to take this thing every day. It's no big deal.
Right.
But it's not the best path.
Right.
The best path is good health. Yeah. And good health requires a little bit of work.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder how many Oprahs and Thomas Edisons are in the world that we don't know, because they never went out there and they didn't take that less worn path.
Right.
Because you know there are people out there like that. I see it all the time. I see runners all the time. Yeah. People, maybe they're in another sport, so I get to see them running. Or maybe they participate in something where I get to see them run. And I'm like, that person has some talent, and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. And they could be great runners, but they will never know because they never step out and do it. And that's running. You can apply that to everything in life, every task, every profession. There's somebody out there who probably could have been great at that thing,
right?
But they never took the initiative to get out there and do it. And it takes going down that harder path to get there.
Sometimes hard things are good, and sometimes good things are hard. And we are so nowadays taught to run from the hard. You know, there's an easier road. Go down the easier road. No, we are made to do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. Go through the water, not try to go around it. Go through it.
Yeah, and these verses in Matthew are a good.
That was good.
Yes, most people are going to go through the wide gate.
Yeah,
because it's easy.
Yeah,
it's simple. Just do it. Not as many people, but the Bible is clear that we're going to have a higher degree of satisfaction. We're going to draw closer to Him if we go through that narrow gate.
When we put in that work to do those hard things, and then again, you reach your potential, you know, and you realize your potential. But when we are told no, or, you know, let go, or things like that, and we just sit and weep over it, that doesn't help.
No.
You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get out there and get back into the trenches and do it again. And so I love all of those examples. Those are great examples too.
Yeah. Well, how many times you ever been on a hike or something, and there's a path
that you
walk on that path. And a lot of times the biggest features are on that path, and there's a reason why that path is where that path is.
Sure.
But if you ever walk off that path, you know, there's 1,000 pictures out there of the waterfall at the end of this path, right? And so there's tons and tons of people documenting that. But you walk off to this little side path, or this little place through the woods, and you find this other thing that nobody sees.
Yeah.
You get to see it.
You get to see it.
Because you took that path that's off the beaten path.
So going back to the brain with neuropathways. I mean, you create this way, this path of thinking by taking that same path over and over again. And in order to create new habits, you've got to take a new path.
Yep.
You are creating new neuropathways in your brain. But it takes, you know, you've got to be intentional about it, and you've got to keep doing it.
Yep.
And you can't just do it once and expect, why, that didn't work. Do it again.
And as that path becomes more worn, it's easier to follow.
Yep.
And it's smoother.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
At Upward Sports, we're all about helping you on your fitness journey, but we also want to support you on your faith journey as well. You can sign up today for the self-paced Bible in a Year Challenge and listen every day as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. As a bonus, I also give you helpful tips of the day and finish with an encouraging quote in each episode. You must be an Upward Running member to participate in this exciting and edifying challenge. Sign up and start listening today.
Every week I share a reason why running and walking is so awesome. So last week I said it helped you live longer. Well, this week let's talk about how you can do it basically up until your last days, usually. I mean, I know stories of people who have died the same day they did their last run.
Wow.
You know, that happens. And it's not for everybody. Not everybody can do that, but a lot of people can.
Right.
And this is what's one of the things that's so great about running and walking is that we can do it forever.
Right.
And
I love it.
You can start anytime and you can keep doing it for as long as you like. If you can walk 100 yards, you can get started.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you don't have to go out there, you know, when I tell people, you know, just this past week, I had some blood drawn and a lady asked me how much I run. Because I told her, I said it said that I wasn't supposed to exercise 24 hours before having the blood taken. And I told her it's hard for me. And she said, well, how much do you run? And I told her and she's like, oh, my gosh. I thought she was going to pass out just from hearing it. But the truth is that if you can only do a little bit, then do that little bit.
Yep.
And then you know what? Next week, you're going to be able to do a little bit more. And then the next week, you're going to be able to do a little bit more.
Just like we were just talking about, new neural pathways.
That's right.
I mean, but you've got to be intentional. Get out there. Walk to the mailbox.
That's right.
Walk to the street sign. Walk, you know.
That is right.
I love that.
Well, a couple of things that happen in the professional world that I think are important for us to cover. Ruth Chepin-Gedich is the world record holder for the women's marathon. This past fall, she ran under 2:10, which was, I remember seeing it and I thought, that's got to be a misprint. But it was not. And well, it turns out she was caught with a masking agent in her system, meaning she was doping. Mm-hmm. She was probably doing it when she set the record, more than likely. I'm not here to judge Ruth. She did the wrong thing. She's paying for it. She's provisionally suspended right now. And that rarely gets lifted. So although it says provisionally, she's suspended. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, let this be a lesson to all of us, because I think we've all got the thing where we're tempted to take the shortcut.
Right.
Or we're tempted to do something that's going to get us more of something. Mm-hmm. In this case, she wanted to be famous. She wanted to run faster. She wanted to earn the money. She wanted to have all the things that come with doing what she did were so enticing to her that she was willing to compromise herself to do it. And we all have a thing out there that we're tempted to do. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is for you, don't give in to it.
Yeah.
Not because you'll get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
But because
it's not right.
It's not right. And, you know, I can't help but think God's watching, mm-hmm. right? God's watching mm-hmm. no matter what it is. So that sounds so, I don't know, it sounds finger pointy when you say that. But
And I think about even when Lance Armstrong got busted, you know, I mean, they still do the work. You know, or yes. when carbon fiber shoes came out, you still have to rotate your feet fast. You know,
right.
the legs still have to do the work.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of getting there without honestly getting there.
Well, that's the shame of it, because mm-hmm. Ruth Chepin-Gedich worked her tail off
right.
to do what she did.
So I'm torn between. It's like I do want to feel for her because she did put it, but she gave in to temptation.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I'm convinced that when Lance Armstrong was caught, and I'm not excusing Lance Armstrong, and I'm not saying. All I'm saying is when Lance Armstrong did it, I'm convinced that I don't know, at least 80% of the cycling community was doing it at the time.
I was going to say, he's just the one that got busted. Yes. I mean,
and it was because he was so much better than everybody
right.
else. And had nobody been doing it, I think he may have still been better than everybody else.
Right. That's the shame, is that yeah. he wasn't able to prove that he was better than everybody else legally.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, the one thing that bothers me about this world record for Ruth Chepngetich mm-hmm. is that they're probably going to let the record stand.
Right.
Because they can't prove that she was doing it
right.
at the time.
Right.
Which means for all the other people running, all the other women running the marathon, this record is out of... It's in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
They're never going to... It's going right. to be years before anybody runs this fast again.
Right. Right.
I think. Because it's just too much.
It's just such a shame. They should have, done the testing beforehand. You know, they waited too late to do the testing, if I understand correctly.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that she didn't. They usually, when you set a world record, they usually test that day.
Okay.
So they probably tested her. But, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they get away with these things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are doing it.
I know a lot of bodybuilders.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
There's that story, but there's an even sadder story.
Yeah.
Joe Vigil, or Joe Vigil, if you prefer, has died. He was 90 years old. He was one of the all-time great distance coaches. He was just a legend. If you know who Dina Castor is, she ran for the United States as a marathoner, won a bronze medal. He coached at Adams State College, won 14 national championships at Adams State College. As a matter of fact, he did one of the most impressive things of any coach anywhere, anytime, in any sport when his team finished 1-5 in the Division II NCAA championships in 1992. Wow. That is the most incredible thing. I just cannot imagine having a team that's so good you finish 1-5 at the national championships.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But that's the kind of coach he was. The distance runners governing body, which is the USTFCCCA or something like that. I can't remember exactly how many C's there are in there and all that. But they named an award after him. He's in every hall of fame you'll find out there that has anything to do with running. And here's a cool thing. I got a chance to meet Joe Vigil one time in the lobby of a hotel room in San Francisco while we were out there to run. I'm sure he was coaching somebody who was in the race that we were running. And he was in the hotel, and me and a friend of mine, we caught up with him, and we sat down and talked with him.
Do you get all giddy when you see these guys?
I do.
I know you've met other people along the way too. And I would love to see that.
Yeah. I love it.
Sat down and you were able to talk with him too?
We talked with him a little bit.
Okay.
Not much, but just a little bit. Yeah. I would love to have talked to him more about, training and stuff, but we didn't get a chance to get into any of that. But, just a nice man,
awesome.
who's willing to take time and, He's going to be missed for sure.
Yeah.
And then I got this really cool story that I want to share. Ozzy Osbourne just died.
I heard.
Yes. And so I know, and a lot of people, Ozzy Osbourne was, he couldn't get enough evil in his shows, and he talked about that. He bit the head off a bat and all the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Right. Well, listen to this story. This is going to blow your mind. I'm serious. There's a friend of mine. His name is Doug Blanks. I went to high school with Doug Blanks.
Okay.
Played baseball with Doug Blanks. And Doug Blanks is a Christian. And Doug was a huge Ozzy Osbourne fan. Mm-hmm. And so he went to see Ozzy back in 2023, just a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He went to go see him. And he had read somewhere that Ozzy Osbourne, he called himself a Christian, a believer.
He's a believer.
Mm-hmm. But he said, I don't read the Bible because I can't understand it. Mm-hmm. So what Doug did was Doug went out and got one of these more plain English type Bibles. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact translation, but he did that and had Ozzy Osbourne's name printed on the Bible. And he went and met Ozzy Osbourne and gave it to him.
That's cool.
And Ozzy Osbourne opened the Bible up and he goes, I can read this.
Yeah.
And he got really excited about it. And he found out 6 months later that his family said he was taking that Bible everywhere he went.
That's awesome.
With him.
That is so cool.
And so I know there's a lot of people out there that think Ozzy Osbourne, he did some terrible things and he's probably not in a good place right now. I don't know that that's true.
We all have a past.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to say he's always, but I have read that he had given his life to Christ.
Yes.
Or maybe not publicly or what have you, but that he considered himself as a believer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all we can do is pray for him.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. And I hope, and you know, hope his family does okay. And I hope they are believers as well.
So, yeah, I do too.
Yep.
I do too.
Well, how about a trivia question for this week?
Sounds good.
This is a good one. This, you have to go way back to find the answer to this one. Who is the only woman to win the New York Marathon and the Boston Marathon twice? There's only one. Mm-hmm. One person ever that has ever done that. And who is she? And if you know the answer to that, and you send that answer to dean@upward.org, and you're the first member to send that in, you'll win $20 off in the store. Do you know the answer to that one?
No.
You've never heard of this lady. I almost guarantee.
No, I did Google it, though. And I was like, oh, she has a nice smile.
Yeah.
You know, I like faces. I was like, oh, she has a nice smile.
Well, she's got a really, really cool running origin story, too.
Oh,
which,
cool.
Which okay. We'll talk about next week.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear about it.
Our motivational thought of the week comes from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said, the only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. You know, it's okay to have doubts, right? You have the in the Bible, the man in the Bible who said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he had doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying to Jesus is, help me to not doubt.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to doubt. I mean, if a man can go to Jesus and Jesus can heal somebody based on a little bit of doubt, well, he can do it for all of us. So it's okay to doubt a little bit, but go to God and let him take that doubt away from you.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Angie, I appreciate you being here. This has been so fun.
It's been fun. I was so excited when you said, hey, why don't you come on up? I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for the time and all. And it's always a good time. So I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure to be back and to just sit and chat with you. And it's been fun. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. And don't forget to join Run Club, to subscribe to the YouTube channel, to rate the app, and do all those things. And until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.